us. All right, let's turn our Bibles. Yes, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Missions Month, and if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. And so we've been talking about missions, and we've been signing up, and we'll give you another opportunity to sign up in a moment to do that. But let me read from a passage, and then we're going to pray for some people in a moment. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So 1 Corinthians 9. Let's read from verse 16 to 23. This is Paul's use of liberty. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 23. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For I do this voluntarily, I have reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For I am for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for Paul's resolve, God. Lord, to be all things to all men, that in some way, God, that he may win some. Lord, let that be our resolve as a people of God, as a family of God here at this church, Lord, that we will do all things, God, for the sake of the gospel. Lord, lead our church in that way, God. And so bless this message today, Lord, to speak into our hearts. Lord, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we love you, God, in this place. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The title of my message today is called Go. So turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, go. It's really important. And so I want to pray for some people right now that are actually going and have been quite busy and vigilant in going. Can I invite the SP Lights team to come up here? Okay, why don't you come? And so this is our team. This is actually a small team, part of a bigger team of a ministry called Sons and Daughters. And it's started here by Kelly. Kelly, why don't you wave your hand? Kelly is a YWAM, which means Youth with a Mission missionary here in Hong Kong. YWAM in Hong Kong has three different bases, which we have representatives from each of the bases actually here as a part of our body in Hong Kong. Godwin, who's out in Yuen Long. We have Frank and Fabi and others that are part of the Tuen Mun base. And then, what base is it called now? Harbor City? Right? Okay, Harbor City Base. Kelly's part of Harbor City Base. And so they're all, and they go out every Thursday night to minister to the sex workers in Wan Chai. And so we had a conversation, they asked, because what they're doing is so important, especially in Wan Chai and all the stuff that's going on there, that they asked if we can just spend some time and just cover them as a church and, you know, as a pastor. And I want to just do that publicly as a congregation. And so this is SP Lights, which is our Solomon's Porch addition to the big ministry of Sons and Daughters, which has how many churches involved, Kelly? About 10 churches all over Hong Kong. And so it's an incredible ministry. They're fundraising right now. They're trying to start a center. And so hopefully many of you guys can give into that as well. And so we just want to come together and just acknowledge their importance to our church and into the city, and especially into Wan Chai, and just really bless them. So amongst this group, they all have different roles, and there's many others that are involved, but there's also people that go out on Thursday. There's people that bake every Thursday as well. They bake goods. to pass out to women and people in the sex trade there. And there's also another team that prays. I'm actually part of the prayer team. My wife is part of the baking team. And so even if you can't go out, especially men, you're not allowed to go out with the group there, you can bake or you can pray. I can't bake, so I pray. It's a little easier. But there's a lot of different ways to be involved. And so why don't you guys step into the middle? And we appreciate you guys. And I know every Thursday, week in, week out, it's not easy. Why don't we come and let's support them and by praying for them. And I feel like when you guys come, God may speak to some of you guys about giving some money. Like I said, they're trying to raise funds for a drop-in center right in the heart of Wan Chai. And that'll go beyond the Thursdays. And so we're praying that God would drop load some figures on you that you can give. And so let's just bless our warriors, the ones that do go out. And I think it's so appropriate that even when I talk about going, that we highlight people that are doing it every single week. There's no snow here. Rain, you know, humidity, probably worse than snow. That every Thursday they go out and love on people. And so why don't we, you guys, just stretch out our hands and let's pray for these ones here. Father, we thank you for this very important ministry, God, and we thank you for the way that you love on, Lord, the marginalized, God, even women that were tricked into the industry here that's thriving here in Hong Kong, Lord, and these women, God, are standing in the gap, Lord, and saying there's something wrong with that, and Lord, and not just thinking about it or saying it, God, they're doing something about it every single week. And so we ask for a blessing over them, God. We thank you for their heart, God, to go. And I know it's tiring, God. I know that it's draining emotionally, spiritually, even for many of them financially. But Lord, we thank you for the heart that says, God, I'm just going to follow you, God, and I'm going to go because that's where you're at. And so would you bless them, God? We commission them. We ask you to protect them, God. We pray that your anointing and the blood of Jesus cover them. God, every week, every time they go out, Lord, the favor of God will be upon them. Give them the exact words to speak in that moment, God, when they encounter, Lord, Johns, Lord, and sex workers and ladies that run these industries, Lord, that you'd give them specific words to speak that would change lives, that would change hearts. And so we bless them, God. I pray also that you provide for them financially, Lord, especially this new drop-in center. God, that you give them everything they need to succeed, Father. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. We love you guys. Keep fighting the good fight. Kelly, how much money do you need for your center? So they need about $380,000. For this center. SP is committed to a chunk of that. But today, I want you to pray. Maybe God's calling you to give some of these funds to help this ministry that's every week. And I respect people every week, week in and week out, man. That's something. You know, only the love of Christ can compel someone to do that. And so we're really proud of you guys, and we'll keep praying and contending on your behalf. Amen? Amen. So we're all very familiar with the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So I realized I haven't really preached on missions in such a long time, which is really kind of rare for me because it's central to who I am, but it's also, I know it's central to God's heart. God's heart is all about mission. In fact, you know, his name God, if you think about it, two-thirds of God's name is go. And so, I mean, there's something really, really specific in that. That wasn't a joke. That's just true. Right? Two-thirds of God's name is go. And so we better get really serious about going when we talk about our faith or about our Christianity. Last year, when we're going through the whole series of our values, I preached the message called Missional Living. And I asked the question, what does it mean to be missional? And my response in that message was last fall. I said, in Christianity, being missional means living out the posture, thinking, behaviors, and practices of a missionary in order to engage others with a gospel message. So what does being missional? Missional means living out the posture, the thinking, the behaviors, and practices of a missionary in order to engage others with the gospel message. But let's think about it. I just take out one part of this, the behaviors and practices. What are these behaviors and practices? It's simple. It's loving. It's serving. It's sacrificing. It's helping. It's doing. It's praying. These are the behaviors and sacrifice and practices. Now, if these behaviors, as a follower of Christ, this message today is primarily for believers. Okay, and so I just preface that all to say that if you're new to church today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you can still listen. It'd be good for you to still listen, but it may not be totally applicable to you. So I just want to tell you that ahead of time. But when you become a Christian, which will be pretty soon, obviously you're here. That says something, right? Only Christ, only God moves people's hearts to seek after spiritual matters. There's none righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. And so the simple fact that you're here means that God is working. God is working in your life. And so it's part of the process. And so this will become applicable for you in the near future. And so when we think about this, as followers of Christ, are these behaviors and these practices, are these things a part of our lives? Loving, especially loving people that don't love you. Giving, serving, sacrificing, helping, praying for the lost. Are these behaviors and practices a part of your life? If you're a follower of Jesus and it's not a part of your life, then very simply said that you're not missional. I don't mean to be so rude about it anyway, but in a sense, you're not carrying the heart of God with you in your behavior, in your practices. Now, going back and mentioning this is a huge part of my life because missions has played a huge, huge part of my Christian existence. My spiritual life, I celebrated, 1992, 23 years of being a Christian last Sunday when I was in Singapore preaching. 23 years, and I accepted Christ on the mission field. I went to Mexico, and I shared this story at the Good Friday service. I went to Mexico, and the day after that trip, I gave my life to the Lord. Things I saw in the field really impacted me. Then sure enough, a month and a half later, I end up coming to Hong Kong in China and playing basketball here. And that totally, in a good way, wrecked my life. And it really made me who I am. A year after that, my parents left for the mission field at the age of 50. So, I mean, think about 50, that's prime time in our life. You know, you feel like, you're closing in on that age, man, I'm going to encourage you. You're coming into prime time of your life. And so, actually, if you actually study leadership, you'll find out that you become effective in your 50s, not in your 30s or 40s. Your 30s or 40s is just learning times. You start, what leadership gurus talk about convergence happens when you hit your 50s. And so, congratulations for you guys who are getting close to that. You're getting close to what you are here, made here on earth to do. Amen? You guys are not convinced by that. You guys are too young in here. You're like, whatever. You'll find out soon enough. Like I said, but my parents, when they were 50, they became missionaries. They're Southern Baptist missionaries in Uzbekistan and served there for 17 years. And that really began to mark me in many ways. Like I said, I became born again on the mission field. I was discipled on the mission field here in Hong Kong and China. That's why I owe such a huge debt to Youth of the Mission. and for their missionaries and the way they've spoken into my life. So much so that when I went to seminary, if you believe it or not, I never wanted to be a pastor. That was like the furthest thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be a missionary. And so when I went to seminary, I didn't study theology. I studied missiology. That would be my focus of study. And so that was part of it. And now I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. I'm serving as a missionary pastor here in the mission field in Asia. And just loving, I mean, absolutely loving what I'm doing in this place. Right, and missions, I mean, it's played a huge role in the formation of my life. And I want to tell you, it's played a huge role in the formation of this church. Right, this church is a missional living church. And that's how we've always envisioned it to be. Now, we may have lost our way here and there, but we're regaining our foothold in this regard. So I have a real simple message today. I just have three simple points, and each of these points are just a question that I ask and will answer through this time. But we ask ourselves, number one, how important is it to be missional? So turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. How important is it to be missional? Is missions and outreach and evangelism and just simply says sharing Jesus with others, is it really that important? I mean, is this something that we shouldn't be investing our lives in? Is when Paul says, I do all things for the gospel, is that supposed to be the norm? Or is that something that's extraordinary, something outside that just special Christians do? Or is this call of being missional, is this really what the Christian life is really all about? Or is it just one slice of that life? How important is it to be missional? Obviously, I think you know the answer. It's very important. And I'll even say it this way. Being missional, missions, evangelism, sharing Christ, you know, all these things, loving sinners, all this stuff. It's really, I would suggest that world history hinges on this point alone. I mean, I know that's such a huge statement to make, but I'm gonna say it again. World history hinges on this point. Jesus tells us that he will return when the gospel is preached to every people. The word is nations, but the word is ethne, or the word ethnos. It's not talking about political nation states and systems. The ethnos or the ethne is talking about every single people group. In other words, any group of people that identify a certain race, a certain language, or a certain culture. And he says that the gospel, Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, all the ethne, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. And so if you think about this, and I know a lot of times we have this idea, and I've heard, you know, talking to people that get married, I ask this question, hey, you know, do you want to have kids? And some say, oh, yeah, definitely. And others, if they have a little more of a fatalistic idea of the world, they'll say things like, I would not want to bring my kids into this sinful world. There are so many things going on in this world. I would not bring my kids. And I know that many of us, as parents, we had that little thought. We had that idea, like, do we really want to bring kids into this crazy world that we live in? Obviously, it's yes. And the simple reality is, if you look at the scriptures, okay? Now, I'm not trying to change your mind about having kids or whatnot. But if you look at the scriptures, whenever the world was at its worst, what did God do? He brought a baby into the world. Think about that. Whenever the world was at its worst, when they're under slavery, you have Moses, right? When Jesus and David and all these things, when it was at the worst, what does God do? He brings a baby into the world to bring hope. Now, that's an aside. Now, we look at this corrupted world that we live in, and how many of us were horrified at things like the Islamic State, you know, when they beheaded all those Egyptian Coptic Christians, and just the bombings that you hear every single day, and you just get fed up. It gets, honest to goodness, it gets so bad, I just don't want to look at the news. Honestly, I just don't want to look at the news. I did look at the news this morning. I found out there was an earthquake in Nepal that killed hundreds of people. I mean, just crazy things that are happening. A lot of these guys, mountain climbers, these athletes that were killed in this earthquake at Mount Everest. And every single day there's things going on. And then you start talking about global warming. You know, and you start, there's all these things, and it's just crazy what we're doing to the world around us and the effect that it's having on us and on people and whatnot. And by the way, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I believe in global warming, all right? You know, I don't understand these stupid people that say some stupid things. I mean, the evidence is so clear. Excuse my language, everyone, okay? And things, but it's just so unfathomable, you know, what we present as Christians to the world out there. You know, but in that regard, it just thinks, man, this world is going to hell in a certain speak. You know the remedy of that? It's not going to be governments. It's not going to be more education. It's not going to be a more cleared up judicial system or a cleaner financial system or a bigger middle class. You know the future, you know the remedy for all the ills that are going on in this world? Is Jesus the Christ. And it's Jesus the Christ coming back. And he says, and this gospel should be preached to the whole world, to every people group, and then the end will come. He says in Mark 13:10, as he's talking about the persecution that's going to come, and he says to the disciples, he says, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. All the nations. And we, brothers and sisters, we are so primed living here in Asia that even just simply by proximity, we are so primed to make an impact in this world around us for history simply because we live here in Hong Kong. Here's a quiz. Do you know the largest unevangelized people group in the world? You know who they are? It's the Japanese people. 120 million, just a three-hour flight away from us. It's crazy. We're living in this. We're living in a country where more than 92% of Hong Kongers don't know Jesus. We are prime. Can you see now that maybe God brought you to Hong Kong for such a time as this? Not just to work at your bank or your law firm or start your company, that maybe God had a higher purpose and goal of bringing you here into this place amongst a huge population that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're given this task to share the gospel to the whole world, but by and large, as a church, Solomon's Porch, as a church universal, we've done a fairly, fairly poor job of it. Here's a missiologist. He wrote this. He says, and I'll just give you some stats. He says 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. 94% of the world recognizes the red and white Coca-Cola logo. Can you believe that? 94% of the world. 72% of the world has seen a can or bottle of Coke. 51% of the world has tasted a can of Coca-Cola. Around the world, and this is how many billion people we have? Six? Is it 6 billion? Seven? Is it seven? Seven? Around 7 billion. Think about this. Around the whole world, 7 billion people or so, an average person consumes a Coke product every 4 days. I'm not talking about the Western world. I'm talking about the whole world. Can you believe that? Average 7 billion people every 4 days has some kind of Coke product. Coke has only been around for 130 years. Coca-Cola, right? The missiologist said this, if God had given the task of world evangelization to the Coke company, it would probably be done by now. It's crazy, right? For like the most unhealthiest drink you could ever find. 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. And yet we have not just the most unhealthy drink around, We have the greatest person that's ever existed. His name is Jesus, the hope for mankind. And we do such a shabby job of presenting Jesus Christ to the world. I'm not trying to guilt us, okay? So don't take it as guilt. I'm just purely explaining the facts to us today. So how important is it to be missional? It's very important. The world, the fate of the world hinges on this very thing. So the next question we ask, well, Pastor Sam, what should we do then? What should we do to be missional? I know this is exactly what you're saying. All right, how can I get involved? What should I do? It's really simple. Make yourself available. Make yourself available. A one-legged school teacher from Scotland came to J. Hudson Taylor, if you know Hudson Taylor is the China Inland Missions, to offer himself to service in China. And Taylor looked at this one-legged school teacher and said, sir, with only one leg, why do you think of going as a missionary? And then the man responded, his name was George Scott. He says, well, I do not see those with two legs going. So I'm going to go. It's fantastic. And he got accepted right on the spot. And George Scott went to China to serve the Lord with one leg. But, I mean, in this story, there's a tinge of sadness when we listen to a story like this. Why do you want to go with one leg? Because those who have two legs, in other words, those that are totally able and fit to go, are not going whatsoever. Now, I know my message is go, but let me share this with you. You actually don't have to go anywhere. This is the idea of being missional, that you actually don't have to go anywhere. The Great Commission is actually much more practical than we think. You know, when I was studying a little bit of Greek, you learn a lot about the Bible. Not so much with Greek vocabulary, actually Greek grammar. It's Greek grammar that really helps you to understand what the Bible is saying. Now, when we read the Great Commission, it says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. I want to suggest to you that's actually a very poor translation in the original language. The word go is what we call in sentence structure a present tense imperative. And so imperative means a command. In other words, God is commanding us to go, but the word actually, it's not go. It's better translated as a present tense, something that's ongoing. A better way to translate it is not go therefore. In other words, move from point A to point B. What he's saying is, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. In other words, as you're going to work, make disciples of all nations. As you're going to the market, make disciples of all nations. As you're going on your holiday, make disciples. Jesus is not saying, okay, here's your job. In other words, Monday through Friday, this is your job. And then Saturday and Sunday, go and do it. No. He's saying, as you are living your life, as you are being normal, as you're going about your daily business, as you are just living life, make disciples of all nations. As you're playing back, I forgot to announce this. This is an aside. Our pastoral staff, we are playing in a basketball tournament this next Tuesday after the retreat. So we're playing in a tournament with ICM, International Care Ministries. And so it's raising money for orphanages in the Philippines. And so we need your support. So please sponsor us. Okay, so if you want to give to these orphanages through our basketball team, then you can talk to any of our pastors and we'll gladly take your money. It's not going to us. Don't worry, you're not going to see us wearing new uniforms or anything like that. It's going to go to ICM. So it's next week. And so we've been playing a lot of basketball these days. Last week, we're in Wan Chai. Great time. It's an incredible time to witness to people. You know, so I was sitting down next to a bunch of guys. I was taking a break. I'm so winded, out of shape. So I took a break during the game and just talking to a bunch of Filipino guys. You know, these days, it's the easiest time in your life to talk to Filipinos. You know why? There's a huge boxing match coming up. All you got to do is say, hey, you going for Pacquiao? Me too. And then you're in right there, right? I mean, like you've got the affection of their heart right then. Yeah, I'm rooting for Pacquiao too, man, you know, and then I just share the gospel. You know, obviously they're not here, but I invited them to church. I gave them my business card. But that's the whole point. It's not, okay, I'm going to put on my missionary hat today, and I'm going to put on my pastor hat, and I'm going to put on my work hat. No, as you are going, make disciples. As you're playing basketball, as you're doing your leisure, going on your hike, as you're going to the restaurant, make disciples of all nations. It's really simple. Brothers and sisters, just make yourself available. I know a lot of times when we think about missions and, I don't know enough. It doesn't matter what you know. It really doesn't. The only thing that matters is who you know, and it's Jesus. If you know Jesus, then you know enough to share about him with other people. It's really that simple. Don't try to talk yourself out of that or put so much pressure as you're going, just as a regular part of your life. I mean, it's really quite simple in this regard. As you're going, make disciples of all nations. Okay, I know I've done this many times before. How many full-time ministers are here in this room today? I'm one, two. Any other full-time ministers here? Right? You guys all failed. You failed this test. You are all full-time ministers. I've done this like 5 times here at church. Come on, guys, right? Jeez, right? You are all full-time ministers. Let me ask you, how many full-time ministers are in this room? Yeah, there you go. Look, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a full-time minister. Now, this is what God does. God's so smart. God takes a full-time minister and disguises him as a banker. And he gives him a good job, right? Gives him some brains, even though sometimes you don't really know with the financial industry. But, you know, give him some brains, gives him a nice suit, nice tie. And then he sends them out into the banking industry to win other bankers for Christ. God's so smart, he takes a school teacher because he loves school teachers. So he takes a full-time minister, disguises this person as a school teacher, gives him some brains, some organizational skills, some behavior management skills, you know, a nice backpack, sends him out to school to win other teachers and students for Christ. God loves engineers. I mean, you can do this again and again. God loves lawyers. So he takes a full-time minister, disguises them as a lawyer or an engineer or a fireman or an entrepreneur. And I mean, just list goes on and on and on and on. A writer, a columnist, a mother, because God loves other mothers. God loves other engineers. So he takes a full-time minister, disguises them as a doctor, engineer, so on and so forth, and gives them the brains, the job, the opportunity, the skill set, everything, and he shoots them out into that world to reach other engineers, other lawyers, other mothers, other doctors, other firemen, and so on and so forth. That's what God does. See, brothers and sisters, there is a higher purpose to your job than what you think. Really, there's a higher purpose to your work than what you think it is. And maybe you're so beat down in your job. Maybe you're so just bombarding your work because you're working with a temporal purpose instead of an eternal purpose. That's why God has you there. That's why God brought you, some of you, to Hong Kong for such a time as this. This is why, just make yourself available. I like what my friend Chase said. You know, and just thinking of this question, think about it. What is the purpose of your life? You know, why do you exist? Che actually is going to be back in October, in August, I think, here in Hong Kong. But he said this one time. And he says, you know, we will worship forever. We will fellowship forever. We will grow in knowledge forever. But we will have only one lifetime to win the lost. Everything else that we devote so much time as Christians, we get to do that forever. I'm not saying neglect doing that, but that we just get a glimpse. We get to do that forever. We only have one lifetime to win the lost. I was reading a story this morning, and it just really broke my heart. And the story of this woman named Alana. And she's Indian, and she had her baby. It's a true story. And she was at the foot of the Ganges River, and she was just crying and crying and crying, and just didn't know what to do, but she was so wrought in her sins. And she was going through so much stuff. And so what she did, she sacrificed her firstborn child, and she drowned her firstborn child into the River Ganges. 30 minutes later, a missionary approached her, this woman who was sobbing, and said, why are you crying? What's going on? And she began to share about her sins, and she just feels so unworthy, and her religion tells her that she should give up her firstborn. And the missionary then began to share with her about Jesus, that Jesus died for her, and that Jesus actually took away her sins on the cross. And Alana, just broken and tears in her eyes, looked at the missionary and said, "Why couldn't you come 30 minutes earlier? Why couldn't you come and tell me this 30 minutes earlier when I went and killed my firstborn child?" Now, it's an incredibly dramatic story. And when I was reading it, man, I was kind of just shaken to the core. But it gives us pause for a moment to say that we may not have all the time in the world that we think we do, right? As some of you are ministering to your parents or your friends, and you're trying to be cool, you know, you try not to impose, you're trying to, you know, to be a nice person, you know, about that. And sure, by all means, you know, be nice and be respectful and all those kind of things, but yet with a sense of urgency, with a sense of urgency. You never know. And again, I'm not trying to scare anyone or, you know, none of this stuff, but just truth here. You never know. The Bible tells us our life is but a vapor. Phew, quick. It happens just like that. You never know. And so make yourself available. Make yourself available. Proverbs 11:30. Says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. Giving our life for the betterment of other people's lives, that's our mission. And obviously the main issue is the sin issue in people's lives. Make yourself available. You know, one thing I love about our church is there's so many opportunities. There's so many ways that you can be involved. Here, here at our church, you can go on outreach every week to the homeless. They do that on Thursday nights. You can go on outreach to sex workers. They also do that Thursday nights. You can go on outreach to young drug addicts. You can go help people, the poor and the elderly. You can visit those that are in prison. You can minister to pre-believers like through our Alpha Ministry. There are so many different ways that you can get involved every single week. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but there's people in our congregation. Unfortunately, it's a very small number of people compared to the size of our church. And it's almost the same people that are going on multiple outreaches. Jeff, how many outreaches do you go on during a week? One or two? How about your sister? Around three or four, right? One family, just these two, just alone. And yet, many of us, nothing. You know, just nothing. No involvement whatsoever, right? And we talk about how we value all these things, but yet, so, I don't know what it is, uncaring or, you know, disinterested or too busy. I'm not saying this is the only thing that you can do. But I'm just talking about let's get to where our hearts are at in this place, right? You can go on short-term mission trips. I mean, that's the whole, we're signing up, doing all these things. These are not glorified Christian vacations, by the way. All right, these are serious trips that are helping people that are in serious needs. You can go on these things throughout the year, especially during the summer. You know, even our house church schedule is interrupted. And we don't have house church on July and August specifically, so that we can go and do missions, So we can get involved in God's heart overseas in this regard, and also in our community around us, being a missional community. You know, there are so many things we say we value, so many things. Let's put our money and our actions where our mouth is. That's really what I'm trying to say throughout this whole time. Now, you could also, missions or being missional is not just about the going either. I think people are called to go, but I think many of us are also called to send. And so this is also a huge part of missions work in our life, right? You can support missions or outreach by giving to the missions fund here at church. You know, by the way, honest to goodness, our missions giving over the last 3 years is almost a little bit above pathetic. Honestly, it's almost a little bit above pathetic. You would think about this, you would think as our church is growing in number, that our giving to missions would grow, and it's not. Our church is growing numerically. Our missions giving is shrinking exponentially. It's a travesty in that regard. And what it tells us is that our church is not being missional. We're not being involved in the cause of Christ as we should be involved. Amen? Some of you guys are not feeling me right now, okay? You know, I know this is a major butt-kicking time right now, but just take it with a grain of salt, okay? Let me just continue on here. You can finance missions. You can support our missionaries that are in Japan, that are in China, that are in Cambodia, and also here in Hong Kong. Some of us are called to go, but all of us are called to send. Do you hear that? Some of us are called to go, but all of us are called to send. We need people, quite frankly, to finance the vision. And maybe God's calling you to do that. Now, maybe you may not be the outgoing person. Look, like I said before, when the SP lights came, you can bake goods. You can use your gift in the kitchen of just simply making cookies and brownies and cupcakes, and you can do that. And that's part of missions as well, to really help our sisters that are going out week in and week out. You can do that. It just takes a couple hours a week of just pouring out your love, buying some ingredients, and just blessing. And I'll say this now. Don't just say it, do it. I know a lot of, and please forgive me for saying this, a lot of people have told SP Lights, I'm going to do this, I'm going to bake goods, and you've not done one single thing yet. Don't just say it, okay? Do it. That's the whole key. Be involved in some way. There's got to be some kind of action. Make yourself available. Don't just say things. Don't just say, oh yeah, I'm going to bake you goods every week, and not having done it even a single time. That's embarrassing. I mean, absolutely embarrassing, and it does not help them in any case. Right, there are so many different ways that you can get involved. So get involved as a missional community. Look, think about it this way. Families, let me talk to families for a moment here, okay? Families, you have kids, you're busy, I know. That's just the story of our lives. Don't let our families and our kids get in the way of us following Christ's heart in this regard. Listen, if you go on holiday, and you know, an average family at SP will go on 2 holidays a year, which is fantastic. It's the gift of living a luxurious expat life. You go on 2 holidays a year. Can I suggest, go on 1 holiday as your family, go on 1 holiday for missions. Do something. Carve out one day. I know you guys go rent villas in Bali and, you know, Phuket and you know, all these places. Oh, what an incredible blessing. I mean, that's awesome. You know, part of that, teach your kids. Spend one day. Go visit an orphanage in Cebu. Right, there's so many out there. Go visit a home in Bali or in Koh Samui or somewhere, or wherever you go on these holidays, and just spend one day, one afternoon with your kids and be missional in that regard. Right? I mean, you know, maybe you're not at the place to spend the whole trip. That's fine. We're all in different stages. But take your family and do a short side trip. Here in Hong Kong, I know we're busy, but take your kids out on outreach in some way. Right? You know, involve them with helping with the elderly. Now, we do a feeding here, you know, twice a week on Sunday nights. You know, very close to here in Sai Pun, where we feed the elderly. And we've actually been financing that for many years as a church. Their work at St. Barnabas, right? At St. Barnabas. Take your kids. Our elderly, they love seeing kids. I mean, they absolutely adore it. You know, and it's a lot of work, I know, but you're making an eternal impact in people's lives. And that you'll find out when you get to heaven. You know, there's so many ways that we can do it that it's not, it doesn't deter us from our walk and our relationship, right, or with our families, that we can incorporate with our families in doing these things. There's so many ways that we can do that, right? Just do it. Be involved. Get yourself involved. Get your hands a little dirty in this regard. The last thing, and this is probably the most important part. Well, okay, he's saying, why should I be missional? And the only word here is really love. This whole thing, the gospel, all this stuff, it's really all about love. Let me share a story. There was a missionary in Africa, and there was once asked if he really liked what he was doing. And his response to the person asking the question was very shocking. And he asked, "Do I like this work?" He said, "No. My wife and I, we don't like dirt. We have reasonable, refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuse." But this is what they said. "But is a man to do nothing for Christ he does not like? God pity him if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go, and we go. Love constrains us." Love constrains us. It's not duty, right? I know I'm giving you the hard sell today, right? But it's not about duty, because love never demands. We just finished last night. We finished our premarital class, and the last session of PMC is kind of the explosive session. It's just in-laws, children, and sex. And so we put sex at the end because we want them to come back for that, right, at the end. And so we make sure that they stick around and we talk about that. But we talk about in-laws. And one of the things that we talk in in-laws, and I tell our guys this, and I'm very real about this, and says, hey, if your parents are giving you guilt trips, you know, saying things like, hey, you know, I went through 80 hours of labor for you, or, you know, I sacrificed, you know, all this for you, and so on and so forth, I've instructed our church members in a very honorable way, in a very loving way, to say, mom and dad, that's your job. Your job is to be a parent. Any good parent does that kind of stuff. And to try to manipulate me by saying these kind of things will not elicit love on my part. You might get duty, but you don't want duty. You want love. Love never demands. In that regard, when we talk about missions or missional living, it's this idea, love constrains us. It's love that motivates us. As we love Jesus so much, we want to share Jesus with people around us. It's really so simple. I had a friend when I was dating Lisa, and all my friends got married before I did. I was the last one in my whole clan, my whole group of friends. And so I'd introduce Lisa to all of my friends. And I remember one time afterwards, we were hanging out with these guys, and one of my friends particularly, Lisa turned to me and says, "Hey, Sam, I think that guy, his name was Angel, my friend Angel, I think Angel really, really loves his wife." I said, "Why do you say that?" And he says, "Because you can just tell." I said, "Why do you say he really, because he introduced me to his wife like 5 times. And he this is what he said, kept saying, he says, "Hey, have you met my wife, so-and-so? Have you met my wife?" And he just kept saying over and over again, he's always trying to introduce his wife to other people. And Lisa came back and said, "Man, this guy really, really loves his wife." Seriously, the first thing that I've noticed this, every time Angel meets someone, he meets someone and he says, "Hey, have you ever met my wife? Hey, my name's Angel, have you ever met my wife?" And seriously, the dude loves his wife. And the guy just wants everyone to know his wife. Because his wife's pretty awesome. I mean, he's a pretty awesome guy too. But just amazing. And when we talk about evangelism, serving God, missions, we're just talking about love. We love Jesus so much, and we love that person so much. We want to introduce that person to Jesus because Jesus loves that person so much. It's really all about love. It's not about duty. Please don't do this out of a sense of duty. It's love. And the simple reality is only the love of Christ that will be able to sustain you. Let me finish with my last Hudson Taylor story. If you understand, I'm a huge fan of Hudson Taylor. And actually, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to come to China, to Hong Kong, was because of Hudson Taylor's book. When I read it, probably about 3 months after I became a Christian. You know, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, must read for any follower of Christ. And Hudson Taylor, when he was director of the China Inland Mission, he often interviewed candidates for the mission field. On one occasion, he met with a group of applicants to determine their motivations for service. And he asked, "Why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary?" And he asked one. And one of them replied, "I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Great commission. Great answer. Another said, "I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ." Oh, what a heart. Great answer. Others gave many different answers to this. And then Hudson Taylor turned to this group of prospective future missionaries. And he said, "All of these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulations, and possible death. There is but one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing, namely the love of Christ." It's not going to be your sense of duty. It's going to be the love that you have for Christ and the love of Christ that lives inside of you. When we talk about missions, evangelism, outreach, all these things, brothers and sisters, it's got to be about love. If that's not what anchors us, if that's not the motivation for us sharing, then we will eventually become tired and lose our way. We'll quit at the first sign of trouble. We'll quit at the first sign of opposition. The first sign where we're tired or sickness comes or whatever will lay aside the vision, and so we must be motivated by love. Amen? In conclusion, can we say what the Apostle Paul said? 1 Corinthians 9:23, "And I do all things for the sake of the gospel." I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's be honest. Let's have heart to heart right now. Are you too busy for the gospel? Are you too family focused for the gospel? I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you to go, to get involved, to send, to finance, to pray. Brothers and sisters, our world is hinging on this. Go. As you are going, make disciples. As you're having lunch with your friends, make disciples. As you're having a client dinner, make disciples. Be bold, brothers and sisters. Express your love for Christ and that individual. Don't worry, God's going to give you a way to do it that's eloquent, elegant, that's with respect, that's loving. By all means, do it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and challenge you. Challenge me, challenge us as a church. And honestly, it's not just about signing up. I can care less. It's about what is the higher purpose of our life. I know God's speaking to so many of you today about getting more involved. Obey the prompting of the Spirit. He's calling some of you to give. Obey the prompting of the Spirit. I believe tremendous fruits are going to come out of this sermon for us as a church. Bring us back to our focus. Bring us out of a self-centered reality into a God-centered existence. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. As they're singing over us, I challenge you to go before Him and reconcile our values and our current actions as individuals and as a church. Some of you may need to repent today. And so repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Some of you guys are going to be led to obey. Obey the Lord and what He's asking to do. Some of you guys just need to keep doing what you're doing. And so keep doing it. Keep loving God and others through it. Let's sing this and pray together. We're going to sing this together as a congregation, but if you're here today and you feel like God is calling you, I'm not saying that you're going to go live in Africa or anything like that, but you sense missional outreach, that God's calling you to something specific. You may not even know what it is right now. I'm going to invite you to come. I just want you to just get some real estate in the altar this morning. And just spend time with the Lord. And we have a few people come and just pray over you. And I'm not saying that you're going to be a full-time missionary, but you sense something. There's something missional going on in your heart. You know that your job or your work, there's something beyond that. I'm not saying you have to quit your job. It's probably within your work right now. But I want you to come and just find some real estate and just go before God. And God's going to really speak to you today very clearly about His task and His objective in your life. And so Pastor Hemsworth is going to lead us. You guys just come, make your way, and then I'll close with benediction. Okay, why don't we come? Go ahead.
And all the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, and all of these will come confess, and know that You are holy. You know that You from the mountains.
There are a handful of our friends that are up here, and God's doing a very deep work. He's calling some of them right now. He's consecrating and separating them for His gospel. If they're one of your friends or house church members, I want to invite you guys to come and just lay hands on our friends and just allow the Spirit to continue to do His deep work. And so you guys come and minister to our friends. I'm going to close our service with benediction, but you guys keep praying and just ministering and loving. Let the Holy Spirit just do His deep work of calling and convicting and drawing near. Go ahead, just spread yourself out. Let's pray.
Pastor Sam for 20 years now. He just gave you his heart. At a time when we were connected, he was still in California. He came to me one day. I've been his intercessor for this long. He came one day and he said, "I'm going to quit my job." And I can tell you, he had a very nice position, a nice condo, young man. He really had, he kind of had it made. And I said, "Don't you think we ought to pray about it?" And he said to me, "I'm going to go on a 30-day water fast." And at the end of that 30-day water fast, he came back and he said, "I'm going to resign." I said, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I don't know. God hasn't given me any directions. But I'm not doing what God wants me to do." I said, "What is that?" He said, "To be with my people, with the Asian people, and be a missionary and lead them to the Lord." He has kept everything that he has said to me, he has done. Every promise that he said of the things that he was going to do, he has done. So, you know, things may look rosy right now, but after he gave up a lot of things, it was hard. And Lisa, alongside of him, gave up as much or more than he did in order to accomplish what is here. If you can't get behind him by going, you know, there should be some men up here. I can tell you that. If you can't get behind, and if you can't go, these young people that are up here that want to go, finance those trips for them. I truly believe that we have pastors, preachers, evangelists, the prophets, but I believe God put special people, men and women alike, in a church to finance it, to send the people out and to spread the gospel. If you have any, when I was 8 years old, I came out of a Baptist background. They gave an altar call to go to China. The Baptists really sent a lot of people to China. I was the first one at the altar that wanted to go to China. Now, what can an 8-year-old do in China, you know? But guess what? At 80 years old, I stepped on the grounds of China. So what I'm saying to you, you're never too young and you're never too old. So take up this cross that he's given to you. Take the opportunities. The opportunities are here, like he said. Get behind it. Make another mission field. There's 10 churches coming out of this one church here. You've already got 3 going, so you got 7 more to go. There's got to be pastors raised up out of this church in order to fill those positions. So get behind them. Be one of those that go.
Thank you. Thanks, Juanita. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the mission, God. We thank you that you love us so much, God, that you share some of your heart with us. Lord, you want every man, woman, child on this planet to know the grace of Jesus, to know that they are loved unconditionally, to know that Jesus, you died on the cross for their sins, and that because of what you've done for them, God, they are totally free. I pray, God, that you would charge our church, God, in this commission as well, that we would go and send, or that we'd be part of, Lord, seeing Jesus come back to bring hope and rescue this world again. We thank you, Lord. God, we take the commission to heart, God, and as we go, Lord, we want to make disciples. And so help us, God, equip us, train us, empower us to do that. We love you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please keep praying for the ones that are here. The rest of you, please leave quietly and enjoy the cake that we have for you out there. Have a great week. Get involved this week with the gospel. Amen.